And it's 2:33. This is KYR 89.1. We're breaking into our program to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's weekly coronavirus briefing.
Sometimes it's easy to forget that this is an important season of the year for families, for communities, and it's been changed this year. So let's just remember each other, whether it is by Zoom or whether it is in prayer or whether we have the opportunity to be in person. I want to thank Dr. Romero for Department of Health for being with us here today. Troy Wells, CEO of Baptist Health Systems, will have some comments. Ivy Pfeffer, representing the Department of Education, and Secretary Johnny Key. And A.J. Kelly, our Director of Emergency Management, who's really done a great job of planning, of looking at the future and helping us guide us through this pandemic. First, I want to give the overall case report for today. So if you could show the first graph, it'll give you a picture as to where we are today. And this, in terms of total cases, we have an additional 1,941 new cases of COVID-19 that combines both the confirmed cases and the probable cases. The confirmed cases is an increase of 1,110, and the increase in probable cases by antigen testing is up 831 for the total of 1,941 new cases. Now, obviously, this is up from yesterday. It is down from a week ago, which we measure it because there is a trend day by or week by week, day by day. The active cases are down 179. Very sadly, and it's troubling to me, that we have 43 additional deaths, and that number remains way too high for us. Very concerned about that, but it's a result of increased cases, increased hospitalizations, actually increased cases that we've seen, even though our hospitalizations has been fairly flat over the last couple of weeks. In terms of the hospitalizations, we did have an increase of 25 from yesterday. We'll talk more about that. We've had the testing was very high on the antigen tests of 4,010. Our PCR test was 7,169. We only had one county that was over 200 cases, Pulaski. Washington followed that with Benton, Saline, and White County. I was speaking to the Mayor McGill of Fort Smith yesterday, and they follow Sebastian County, and they just said they're glad they're out of the top five. And so if you'll remember, Sebastian County has been up there, and I started noticing that they dropped down. Again, an illustration that you can make progress, and I applaud them for moving out of that top five. With that, let me come back based upon those cases and make some comments. First of all, the hope for the future is the vaccines, and I'm delighted that we have the vaccines that are coming in for our nursing home residents and our staff in the nursing home. Rachel Bunch showed me a picture of one of the staff members, I believe it was, in Batesville, getting a vaccine in a long-term care facility. That's going to continue. They said their big rollout's going to be next Monday, in terms of a larger scale vaccination, and they will be training between now and then. So that's happening. At this present time, of course, our focus has been on our healthcare workers, and we now have, as of this morning, 12,969 healthcare workers that have received the vaccine, been given the vaccine since we started getting that distribution a little over a week ago. We have received our allocations for next week in terms of the vaccine. And in terms of Pfizer, we will be receiving 23,400 new doses of the Pfizer vaccine. And that will be in addition to what they will ship us for the second dose of those that have already received the first dose. The Moderna vaccine, which will go to our pharmacies to utilize for our long-term care residents, that is, will be receiving 17,700 of those doses that will be utilized for our long-term care residents. This is all great news. I know everybody's asking the question, when is my turn? When will we as an essential worker be able to do it? Dr. Romero and his team are working very diligently with Dr. Dillahay on making sure we have it just right in terms of our priorities and who will be in category 1B and who will be in 1C. And we want to make sure that we hear from everybody as we finalize those priorities. But for now, we're still in 1A, which would be the healthcare workers, the long-term care residents and staff, and then the emergency service workers as well will be vaccinated. I did want to talk about hospital capacity because, as you can see, we're up 25. Now, in our conversations, everybody actually expected the hospitalizations to be higher than they are right now, and that we are better than expected position right now. Now, I say that because our cases have gone up significantly. Our hospitalization has not gone up at the near the same rate. And so it's illustrated by the fact that our Veterans Hospital, as you recall, I authorized 30 days of utilization of our VA hospital space, which gave us an additional 8 beds. Only 2 of those beds have been utilized. And so our existing capacity has been able to manage the current caseload. But we don't know with 25 more today. We don't know what the rest of December is going to be like. We don't know what January is going to be like because we don't know what Christmas is going to be like. And with the Thanksgiving spike, in which I thought everybody tried real hard, but Christmas, we're trying hard, but if we're not successful, then we're going to see another spike after Christmas, and we have to be prepared for it. And so for that reason, today I am announcing that I've authorized an alternative care site to be constructed, to be built out as in addition to funding additional bed space through a partnership with Baptist Health Systems. This will provide 124 new beds. Some of those will be ICU beds. Some of those will be regular hospital beds that can be utilized. And this will be in Van Buren and in Central Arkansas. This will be managed by our COVIDCOM system so that we can allocate to this additional space patients that are in need because of COVID from across the state. This build-out will cost $7.4 million. We hope that FEMA will cover 80% of that, and we're prepared to cover the 20% of our cost share by the state as well through previously funded appropriations to our emergency management team. This is important because even though it's going to take some time to build this out, we have to be ready for whatever comes in January. It is my hope that we will build this out and we will not have to utilize those beds for COVID patients. But it is prudent upon me as governor to make sure we have that adequate space if the need arises. And so knowing how challenging this time is, we want to make sure that we take that step to build out that additional space. And with that, Troy, let me thank you for your partnership and help in doing this. This is one of the recommendations of our Winter COVID Task Force that Troy serves on. They all support this and this partnership. Troy, why don't you elaborate?
This is Troy Wells, CEO of Baptist Health System.
Thank you, Governor. We're happy to be working with the Governor's Office, the Arkansas Department of Health, and Department of Emergency Management on this project. Since the beginning of the pandemic, you know, we've had several challenges present us as a healthcare community, whether it was PPE, our testing capacity, our bed capacity. We've talked about nursing resources in the past, and we've solved many of those challenges throughout the course of the year from working with the state and all the healthcare systems in Arkansas. And today we're here just talking about one more step, one more challenge we're trying to solve, and that is bed capacity, obviously. This is not the only thing that we are at least studying and considering. The Winter Task Force will continue to look for other alternative care sites. should the need arise. We think that this opportunity that we're talking about today gives us some more runway, gives us some more capacity before we have to make any further decisions or recommendations on expansion around the state. Let me just speak briefly about the two sites that we're talking about today. The John Gilbreth Conference Center is a conference center on the Baptist Health Little Rock campus. That will be converted into 50 patient beds. They'll all be negative air, and we'll be able to accommodate COVID-19 patients. That project will take about 4 to 5 weeks to complete, but that work began last week once we had verbal agreement to move forward. The Van Buren facility, when we acquired this facility in 2018, it had limited inpatient capacity, but it was licensed for more beds, needs some work, some renovation to create the negative airflow capacity that we need for treating COVID-19 patients. That project will take a little bit more time, 6 to 8 weeks perhaps, but it will be phased in such a way that if we need the beds sooner, we'll have some of those units up and running. And that expansion of 74 inpatient beds will also include 8 critical care or ICU beds. The benefits of working on these sites for this project, really the biggest benefit, it allows us for the easiest means for scaling all the ancillary services and other clinical services that are needed when you have hospitalized patients. So it's one thing to find nurses, which we still have to work on our plan to do that. That's actively being worked on. But it's another thing to provide pharmacy and respiratory care, nutrition and food services, environmental services, lab, diagnostic imaging, all those services being co-located with these expansions will really help us provide that much more easy rather than trying to recreate that in an off-site location. So that's the main benefit from doing it this way. Governor, I'm happy to hang around for any questions that may come up.
That might be the case, Troy, so thank you. And I'll ask Dr. Romero to come now before I go through more slides in terms of our cases. But Dr. Romero, first of all, we're very proud of your work on the CDC Advisory Committee that set a national recommendation in terms of immunization priorities. And he's been a national leader in that regard, but also a great partner here as we're managing through this pandemic. And Dr. Romero, won't you come and make your comments?
This is Arkansas Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. You're listening to the governor's weekly COVID briefing on KUAR.
Thank you, Governor, for those kind words. So I want to focus today on preemptive steps for trying to keep our senior citizens out of the hospital if they are infected. And again, I want to go back to what we've talked about in the past. That is that we have a large supply, a ready supply of monoclonal antibodies available for use in the community outside of the hospital. And this will allow us to prevent admission to the hospital and may actually benefit the patient significantly. So for those patients that are of the right age, 65 or older, and have medical conditions and are diagnosed with COVID, they should reach out to their providers early in their disease and contact them to see if they're eligible for these therapies. We are going to try to make these available through other venues other than just an emergency room or an infusion center over the next few weeks. But these are there. They have been shown to be effective, and we want to have the public know about it, and we'll be reaching out to the physicians. Our vaccine rollout, and I'm going to change a little bit to vaccines, our vaccine rollout has gone well. We have not had any major glitches. The uptake looks about right. We're taking the doses that we received last week, about 51% of them have been already administered. We will be receiving, as the governor said, more vaccines. I want to stress to those healthcare providers and those individuals that are eligible for this because they are either working in a long-term care facility or are residents in a long-care facility. These vaccines have been studied well. They have been shown to be safe and efficacious. And I want you to consider receiving these vaccines sooner rather than later. We are continuing to follow the safety of these vaccines post-administration. We know that we are seeing some cases of allergic reaction. As of last Sunday, this past Sunday, 6 such reactions occurred in this country. Those individuals all recovered, and we're watching for them very, very carefully. And lastly, then, just the usual admonition. We are entering into the holiday season, a season in which we tend to gather with our family and friends. I really encourage you to limit your gathering to family, to the nuclear family, and not bring in individuals, and avoid large crowds. Use the mask even when indoors. Okay, so wear the mask. Continue to social distance. We're seeing a lot of transmission in these small gatherings in these homes. And, of course, wash your hands. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor. Thank you, sir.
Along that line, today, the Department of Health will be posting the directive for indoor venues, in which we've talked about this for a couple of weeks. We want to get it right. And I want to emphasize that this simply reduces from 100 to 10 the size of a crowd that will trigger prior approval or a plan to be submitted and approved by the Department of Health. This is to go after the indoor venues to make sure they're safe. Let me emphasize a couple points. This does not mean that we can't have indoor venues that's larger than 10 people. It just simply means you have to have a good plan approved by the Department of Health to make sure it's safe and that you have your distancing, you have your mask requirements, and the other things that are necessary to make sure that venue is safe. And then secondly, we wanted to make sure it was clear that this does not apply to places of worship, retail businesses, community or school-sponsored sports, restaurants and bars, residences, all of those things either are not regulated or they're covered by another directive. And so restaurants, for example, has their own directive, but this is those for the commercial venues that might be having an indoor gathering of more than 10 people. Just have your plan approved by the Department of Health. Because this is new, we want to make it effective January 2nd, and it'll run through March 1. But we want to be prepared for the first of the year and make this plan, but give everybody an opportunity to make sure they can adjust toward that. With that, let me take it through the slides very quickly. You can see the trend line that you can see where we are today compared to a week ago is better. It's up, obviously, from yesterday. Next, this is week over week. This week, or this most preceding week, we were up over the preceding week. And so we hope that it goes down this coming week, and we think we have a chance for that. Hospitalizations, you can see, we're actually at the largest number of hospitalizations because of COVID since the pandemic began. PCR test, we came down a little bit, and so I'm hopeful that you'll see the positivity rate for our PCR test go down, but that's something we have to watch carefully. We're above the 10% mark, which we don't like. Next is our antigen test, and of course, that's the 7-day rolling average is much higher. People are utilizing that. They have a higher positivity rate for those that take an antigen test. Next, we want to show you how we're testing. We're 263,000 PCR tests have been given, taken this month, along with the next slide, which is the antigen test of 59,000. Which means we're not even through the month. We've done well over 300,000, which is 1/10 of our population in 1 month. We're testing robustly. It helps us to identify, isolate the positive cases. And this is just the trend line for our regions. And all of them are up. One thing that is noteworthy is that the Northeast Arkansas health region has come down a bit so that it allowed Central Arkansas, that trended up, to exceed the number of cases in the Northeast. And so just a reminder, in Central Arkansas, it's a challenge for us, but all of those are up, Northwest included. And the next one shows it percent-wise in growth, which is a little bit different because that's the other one was the new cases. This is the percent growth in cases. And Central Arkansas is growing at 9.3% from December 13th to December 19th. Northeast, 8.4%. Northwest, 7.9%. All growth, but you can see where Central is the largest percentage growth. And with that, I'm delighted to have Ivy Pfeffer here. And Ivy, I'm just going to let you answer questions that might come up on the education front, if you can hold off for that. And with that, we're happy to take any questions.
I guess in terms of the next tiers of vaccine rollout, you know, what are some of those criteria that are being looked at to sort of figure out who's next in line?
I'll start, and then Dr. Romero, obviously our resident expert, can comment on that. But the 1A is set, which is our healthcare workers, long-term care workers, our emergency management workers, our service providers. But it's 1B when you get into the essential workers, in that the CDC made a distinction on essential workers, those that are frontline, and those that are more, they're very essential, but they're in the not on the front line, like a grocery store clerk or somebody who's working in a poultry house. And so that's sort of the current discussion to make sure we get that right. And then the other one is, of course, the elderly and where those that are over 75 and where they should be because they're the ones the most vulnerable. So that's the current discussion. We'll have more information on that next week. But Dr. Romero, why don't you comment on that?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So as mentioned, the 1A is already set. 1B was determined in part because of the major factor was the issue of vaccine. We don't have enough vaccine for everyone. So the category that was originally thought of was as the essential worker. But we clearly know that individuals 65 years and above are at greater morbidity and mortality for disease. So modeling based on the number of vaccine available, modeling on lives saved, led to the compromise, if you will, of tiering the essential workers into two tiers, those that are really at the front line, and those include areas, excuse me for reading this because it's better for me to read than to not remember. It's the first responders, education, food and agriculture, manufacturing, corrections workers, postal workers, transit workers, and grocery store workers. Those would be in that first tier. So those go in there. Then the data indicated that you would get maximum benefit, minimum harm by using the vaccine in those individuals that are over 75. And so by combining those two, you come up with a reasonable number of individuals in the U.S. population that can be served by the vaccine that's available. Now, we understand that there may be changes going on, and that will depend on how much vaccine is available. So if we get another vaccine, if Pfizer and Moderna ramp up their productions and have more vaccine, we'll be able to do that. All of this is a recommendation from the CDC to the governors. We understand that at a local level, there may be need for change, and that is acceptable, but we have tried to provide the governors with a framework through which they can go back and say it is scientifically or epidemiologically sound recommendations so that they can go back on that and look and see how that fits each population, each state.
Thank you. And
it's
the CDC guidelines are extraordinarily helpful, but I think it's important not that I look at them and say we need to make an adjustment, but I want to have Dr. Delahaye and a vaccine committee listen to and have that considered by all the impacted populations in Arkansas so that they can comment on it as well. And so that's the process that we're going through, and we've got a little time because we're still in Category 1A. Is there a question from our guest remotely?
I have a question that is along those same lines about the vaccine distribution plans. This is Samantha with KNWA. I talked to Mercy Hospital this morning. They say they're making great progress on vaccinating workers. And you just mentioned today you have vaccinated over 12,000 workers across the state. At what point can we expect to move into phase 1B now?
Dr. Romero, do you have an answer to that?
So again, it depends on each state. The general thought is that when we have reached 80% saturation, that is, if we immunize 80% of the high-risk groups in that first tier, we can move on, or if we see demand fall off. So if there's a decrease in the amount of demand over time, then we will move on to the next one. That would be the 1B. My thoughts are that it's going to take us 4 to 6 weeks at least to get through this first phase. We're doing very well, but let's see how we do over the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. Next question.
Governor, this is David Ramsey with the Arkansas Nonprofit News Network. Two questions. First, obviously, you know, you have this alternative care center coming up. In the meantime, we've seen the number of available ICU beds go to much lower numbers in recent days after kind of being in the 70s and 80s for some weeks. It fell to a record low, 37 available statewide on Friday. And at least at certain points, some regions in the state have had zero ICU beds available at all. So I guess, could you speak to, do you have any sort of concerns about that? Or are we, I mean, it seems like things have shifted. Or are we reaching kind of a crisis point in terms of making sure that everyone has prompt access to quality care if they have critical care needs? And second question, just related to the to that alternative care site. So there's going to be 124 new beds. Can you speak to the challenge, it seems like, in general has been staffing? Can you speak to how there are going to be enough staff resources to man those beds?
I'm going to let Troy answer that in the latter part of the question. On the first part of the question, that's the reason that we've had to develop a statewide management system called COVIDCOM, so that when one area of the state does not have an ICU bed, then we can make sure that they can be assigned to a hospital that has available space. And again, we haven't reached the breaking point because we have capacity at our VA hospital here in Little Rock that has ICU beds. We've only utilized two there. And so we have more space that's there in addition to our existing structure. And obviously that is the reason that we're having our alternative care site and additional space that's being managed and built. Troy?
This is Troy Wells, CEO of Baptist Health.
One additional comment on the ICU availability. Within the next probably 2 or 3 weeks at Baptist Health, we'll be expanding to another 30 ICU beds that will be available. So that should be helpful relative to where we are today and what's available today. 30 more beds will certainly be good for Arkansas. To your other question, I think it was staffing related, both on the ICU front and then on the alternative care site. We're all actively recruiting now for more critical care nurses, for more nurses in general that can serve at the bedside. There's nursing staff, then there's that ancillary staff. The good news is the ancillary staff, we can stretch to cover more in the existing hospitals where we're expanding. Nursing, we don't have that plan fully developed yet. We're working on that now, both for these alternative care sites and, quite frankly, for the rest of the expandable surge plans that hospitals have here in Arkansas today.
And I'm sorry if I missed it, but could you quickly say how many ICU beds are going to be at the two sites, the alternative care sites, and when those are going to be expected to be available?
ICU beds at those two sites.
So there's, you know, we're talking about two different things. There's the announcement that the governor made today with our build out of the Gilbert Center and then our Van Buren Hospital. The Van Buren Hospital will have 8 ICU capable beds available for COVID patients in that facility. In addition to that, responding to your first question, Baptist Health is opening up another 30 ICU beds in the coming weeks. That's separate and apart from the project that the governor announced today.
And
Governor, it's Brent Rings with 2020.
Well, let me just, with the, Troy, correct me if I'm wrong here, but while we have 8 designated ICU beds in the Van Buren facility, that the fact that you have, 116 other beds that are available also frees up some space in the event you need to have additional ICU beds in the elsewhere?
That's correct.
All right. So it builds a little bit of a partnership capacity there. Next question.
Magnolia Reporter.com. Small businesses in Arkansas have endured pretty significant losses due to COVID. In 10 days, they're going to face another blow when the state's minimum wage rises to $11 an hour. Will you seek a minimum wage increase moratorium due to the current emergency?
No, I have not considered that. Ours is set by a constitutional amendment, so that would not be something that I am considering or would consider, and that's not driving the concerns that I've heard from small businesses. They are struggling, but there's a lot of different factors in that, and of course that does impact their wage rates as well. But I'm delighted that Congress, in a bipartisan way, came together and provided small business relief. That was one of my priorities through the Paycheck Protection Plan, but also it'll be additional funding that will help the states that can help as well. And so we're still waiting on some details there, but that should be beneficial. Next question.
Governor, it's Brett Rings. Can you hear me, sir?
I can. Yes.
Yes, thank you. To clarify, Van Buren, that is Van Buren, Arkansas, the Fort Smith River Valley region for that second center, correct?
That's correct.
And please, I'm assuming there's specific details for that. Little Rock and this area, you want two centers kind of serving large parts of the state. Is that correct? Can you expand on that? And I have a second question once you do.
That's right. And of course, you think, well, those are Central Arkansas, I think you understand, the other one, Van Buren, it's available space. And, Chris Barber at St. Bernard's in Jonesboro understands that if they get in a crunch, this is space that's going to have to be available to Northeast Arkansas as well. And so this is a team effort. And while we don't like those distances, that's not the ideal part of the world, this will help a great deal by having this additional space available in those locations.
Thank you so much. My second question was concerning the UAMS report, biweekly report released today, that said a large majority of Arkansans in the state are willing to comply with mitigation efforts once mandated, but without mandates, it seems some Arkansans are not consistently using life-saving public health practices. Are you familiar with that? And what's your take? Can you expand? What does that mean? Because I know we have mask mandates, we have a large number of mandates, but what do you take that to mean?
Well, first of all, I think that came out today. I haven't reviewed it. I look forward to reviewing it. It's always helpful insights, and we look at what they see into the future. But in terms of mandates, you're right. We already have restrictions on restaurant capacity, gymnasium capacity, sporting events capacity. We have all kinds of mandates and restrictions that are in place. We put in another one that today that helps us to make sure proper health controls are even in small indoor venues. And so we're addressing it. I travel, I go in Arkansas, I go out, I go to the store. I see a incredible amount of compliance with the mask mandate, with the social distancing, with what the businesses are put into place. And sure, it varies, but I've been very impressed with what Arkansans have been able to do during this time in really following the guidance that we have provided. All right, so Jay.
CARES Act extension now, states have until the next calendar year to be able to spend that money. Is there anything that you want to see that committee maybe look into further?
Well, one, we need to wait and see exactly all the details of the congressional bill, for example. My understanding is that there's, I think it's $15 billion nationwide that's put into additional broadband funding. And so that's certainly something we will look at. There's a lot of legislative support for additional funding for broadband, which is necessary in our schools during this time, as well as for our small businesses. So we'll continue to look at the needs that are there. There's separate money for rental assistance, for food banks, and so we'll see how that money flows and what decisions we have to make as a state. Let me take advantage of that, because I know that the Department of Education is looking at that funding that might come to education. And so, Ivy, why don't you come here and take advantage to give a little report.
This is Ivy Pfeffer with the Arkansas Department of Education.
Thank you, Governor. Good afternoon. And we, too, are looking for more information and a better understanding of the way those education dollars will be both sent out to the states, to the schools, and also looking at with any portion that is allowed for a state set aside, what would be the best use of those funds to meet the needs of students. You know, I think that we all realize we've had we've had success this school year that we probably really were not all expecting to have, and that's because of all the efforts that have been put into place. But we know that there are a lot of things that schools are doing now that they've had to learn differently. I think the ongoing technology needs will have to continue to be prioritized. We want to make sure that school districts have access to testing as they need in order to continue to make good decisions about whether or not they are able to continue on-site learning or need to make pivots based on their staffing needs. We also know that they've done a lot of work with putting into systems in place for contact tracing, and that will continue as we return. But overall, we feel very good about the success we've had. We feel very good about the partnership and the support that has been provided to schools and will continue to be provided.
One last question, if there is one.
Well, since I got to here, I guess for this new directive, is there any additional staffing being utilized at ADH to kind of go through some of those applications? Because you figure with the cutoff being 10, that there might be a little bit of an influx of
In speaking with Dr. Romero and Terry Paul, that they have adequate staff, because a lot of the events slowed down naturally because of our increased cases. And so their workload in terms of review is to the point they can manage this additional request that might come in. Let me end on this. Again, we want victory over this pandemic. And there's two V's as a key to victory over the pandemic, and that is the vaccine, which we're working hard on, and secondly, it's vigilance. And we hope that everybody will be vigilant during this Christmas season so that we can have victory and get to the vaccine. Thank you all very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his weekly coronavirus briefing. You're listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of the numbers we heard today. An increase of 1,941 new cases of COVID-19. That is both confirmed and probable cases. That brought the total number of cases since the pandemic began to 205,048. We've seen an increase of 43 new deaths from COVID-19 today. That brought the death toll in the state to 3,338. We saw an increase, too, in hospitalizations, 25 additional Arkansans being treated in facilities around the state for a total of 1,103. We did see a decrease in active cases. That was down 179, but it still is over the 20,000 mark at 21,979. Here in Pulaski County, we were the only county in the state, rather, to have more than 200 new cases. We had 288 over the past 24 hours. We had 168 new cases from Washington County and 153 from Benton County. We heard today's update on the status of the vaccines in Arkansas. Of course, we have two different vaccines, both coming to us in the state. We heard that Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero said that so far everything has gone pretty well in the state with rolling out those vaccines to the frontline workers and the residents of long-term care facilities who are slated to be the first in line to receive the vaccine. The health secretary said that 51% of the doses of the vaccine the state received last week already have been administered to those people. We also heard that Arkansas has received its allocation of the vaccine for next week. That is about 23,400 new doses of the Pfizer vaccine, not including the other doses of the vaccine, the second dose for the people who have already received the first dose in the state. And we also heard, of course, the Moderna vaccine that'll be going to the state's pharmacies, ideally intended for long-term care facility residents and employees. That is going to be a total of just under 18,000 doses of that vaccine. And we did, again, hear that the number of Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 increased by 25. We heard that the state, along with one of the major hospital systems in the state, Baptist Health, are partnering together to essentially build out two existing spaces within that system to increase bed capacity, both ICU beds and regular hospital beds, to cope with this influx in hospitalizations. That'll be in facilities in Van Buren over in West Arkansas and here in Central Arkansas on the campus of Baptist Health's Medical Center here in Little Rock. Put together, those will add about 124 new beds. The one here in Central Arkansas is actually a conference center within Baptist Hospital. That's going to be about 4 to 5 weeks to complete. That's going to add about 50 beds. And the one in Van Buren will take a bit longer, as much as 8 weeks, but that will be 74 new patient beds, including 8 intensive care unit beds. We heard the health secretary again saying that so far so good on the rollout of the vaccine, both the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, of which Arkansas has already received a number of doses. I believe it was about 20,000 or so people who've already gotten the vaccine. Here in Arkansas, actually, it is 12,969 healthcare workers who have already received the vaccine here in Arkansas. We also heard the health secretary, Dr. Jose Romero, say that the state has a large supply of a drug known as monoclonal antibodies, and he said that those have been proven to have positive outcomes in COVID patients, specifically older patients. So he urged people who are over the age of 65 who have a COVID diagnosis, as well as other comorbid conditions, chronic health conditions, heart disease, diabetes. He reached out to those people saying that they should talk to their healthcare providers, ask them about this drug therapy, monoclonal antibodies again, and especially early in the disease progression of COVID-19, as it has been shown to increase positive health outcomes. And again today, 1,941 new coronavirus cases in Arkansas, then accompanies an increase of 43 new deaths from COVID-19 in the state. The death toll, just over 3,300 people in Arkansas. Again, an increase of 25 hospitalizations for a total of 1,103. And currently today, 21,979 Arkansans currently have the coronavirus. And of course, we heard the governor and state health officials reiterating their call for smaller gatherings, especially in light of the upcoming holidays. Again, they urged people to only gather with their nuclear family, essentially. And also, we heard that the state health department will be requiring groups of 10 or more people to essentially submit a plan for approval from the health department. And of course, that does not include groups of people in retail stores, bars, restaurants, other facilities that already have public health guidelines in place. And again, you've been listening to the governor's weekly COVID briefing right here on KYR 89.1. You can look online and tune in tomorrow during Morning Edition for a more in-depth rundown of what we heard from the governor today. This is KYR News.